Heavenly Father, as we think of the words that we just got done singing, we pray, Lord, that that would be a prayer from our heart, Lord, that you have done so much for us, and may we give all of ourselves back to you. Father, we thank you for your kindness, your love, your grace. Lord, we all are so undeserving of what we have, but yet your love consumes you, and so thank you, Lord. Father, we pray now as we enter into your word that your Holy Spirit would be here leading and guiding and speaking to our hearts. In your name we pray, amen. The text for this Sunday is found in Isaiah chapter 55, verses 10 and 11. And if you're able to, please stand in Jesus' name. Isaiah 55, verses 10 and 11. Rain and snow come down from the sky. They do not go back again until they water the earth. They make it sprout and grow so that it produces seed for farmers and food for people to eat. My word, which comes from my mouth, is like the rain and snow. It will not come back to me without results. It will accomplish whatever I want and achieve whatever I send it to do. These are your words, Heavenly Father. Sanctify us in thy truth, for thy word is eternal truth. Amen. You may be seated. As I looked at the choices for pericope, I looked at this and I am thinking, and I know that we need to be in prayer for members of our congregation who are working for Cliffs, because very shortly they will find out what's going on with the jobs if they are working at the Empire, and I think we need to be in prayer for them. And so as we look at this, we think of God's provisions, and God's provisions are for all of us. And I'm going to start off with a number of statistics. This is from a Christian research person by the name of George Barna. Unfortunately, it's from 2002, so it's a ways back, but these are things that Christians said about their knowledge of the Bible. And as I go through these, I'm not going to have you take a self-quiz, but you might want to think about it and see if you can get it. 48% of these Christians could not name the four Gospels. And as we go through this and we look at this, remember that we call ourselves a Christian nation, but 48% could not name the four Gospels. 52% can't identify more than two or three of Jesus' disciples. 60% of American Christians can't name even five of the Ten Commandments. If that's all we can name, how can we try to keep them? 61% of American Christians think that the Sermon on the Mount was preached by Billy Graham. 71% of American Christians think God helps those who help themselves is a Bible verse. Kaz came home this year from school. One of his teachers said that that verse was a Bible verse. So it touches our own community that people think that that's in Scripture. George Barna said, Americans revere the Bible, but by and large, they don't know what it says. And because they don't know it, they have become a nation of biblical illiterates. Just as the people in the Barna poll are woefully biblically illiterate, Christians are far too ignorant of the Word of God. No wonder 21st century Christians are failing to finish their marathon race. No wonder Christians by the thousands are falling prey to the false teachers of our day. They are being fed junk food and don't feed themselves on the Word of God. They are desperately in need of a solid diet of good food, which is Scripture. We need to get into spiritual shape. As we look at this, we are going to look at the two verses in Isaiah. And the first verse in Isaiah is dealing with rain and snow. In Genesis chapter 2, verses 5 and 6, this is what the Scripture says. Wild bushes and plants were not on the earth yet, because the Lord God hadn't sent rain on the earth. Also, there was no one to farm the land. Instead, there was underground water that would come up from the earth and water the entire surface of the ground. And so as we think of this, this is how God had made provisions at first for watering the earth. And that was still the case when we get to the time of Noah. And you can imagine the faith it took for Noah, because God said there were going to be rains that would flood the earth, and yet Noah had not seen rain. You talk about being a person of faith. Would we have that faith to build that and to deal with the ridicule that Noah had when the people came to him and said, "What are you doing?" And yet Noah was faithful. In the present time, we look to the heavens for our water comes from both rain and snow. And in the UP, we get plenty of snow. We depend upon God to provide the moisture that we need for crops and for the grass to grow. It's interesting as we look at Isaiah and Isaiah's prophecy. In this verse, it says that the moisture doesn't return to the heavens until they water the earth. If you were to look at the Old Testament time of Isaiah and you were to study science, science at this point in time had no concept or idea of evaporation. If they would have looked at this scripture and said, and the water returns to the heavens, they would have been confounded by that, because they had no idea that that's what happened. And yet Isaiah said that this was going to happen, this took place, and scripture held true to it. God sends the rain to make plants to sprout and grow and to provide food for us to eat. If God is in control of all nature, simple question, shouldn't we be allow him to be in control of our lives as well? God contains and controls everything with nature. He's asking us to give ourselves to him. As rain and snow provide nourishment, they can also cause some of the most destructive forces of nature. And as we look at this, the Word of God has been given to us to provide nourishment and growth. God's Word was providing us so that we could become more and more like him. On the other hand, though, the Word of God is also going to condemn us to hell if we haven't accepted Christ. The scripture says that God wills that none should perish, but yet it's the very same Word of God that is going to condemn those who have not accepted Christ as their Savior and Lord. And so as we look at the scripture and we see God wills that all men come to know the truth, and God has been very patient, but as we look at today and we see the world around us, we have to ask ourselves, how patient is God going to continue to be? If our hearts become hardened because we hear the Word of God and we don't apply them to our lives, they are going to become hardened like concrete or blacktop. And if you think of the rain comes down, it comes down into the grass in the area, it's absorbed and it's used for nourishment. But if the rain comes down on the cement and the blacktop, it just runs off. It's not absorbed, and it doesn't do any good because that can't accept the nourishment of the rain of God. And so we have to wash and be aware of ourselves and our hardening of our hearts, because Satan would like us to not listen to what God has for us. In this passage of Scripture, we see God provides everything. Man provides labor in the process of planting and harvesting. But God is the one who provides the rain. He provides the seed, and he gives the miracle of life and causes everything to grow. In James 1, verse 17, it says, "Every good and perfect gift is from above." If we today have family, friends, and jobs, they are all gifts to us from God. It is nothing that we deserve on our own. And as we look at this, and as I was preparing for this, it was interesting, and I learned some things, and hopefully you can gather it as well. But money becomes such an important issue in our life today. As I was studying, it's interesting, Jesus talks more about money than he talks about heaven in the Bible. If Jesus takes so much time and effort to talk about money, we need to look at what he had to say. In Matthew, Mark, and Luke, three of the four Gospels, one out of every six verses deals with money. 16 out of the 29 parables that Jesus told dealt with the person and their money. If this is such a huge concern for Jesus, it needs to be a concern for us as well. And we think of the scripture where it says it's easier for a camel to pass through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter heaven. And the reason is the people who are pursuing the wealth have something higher than God in their lives. Greed and need of possessions are the most powerful detractors today that we have from accepting God's salvation. If we look at greed, a greedy person never has enough. Look at people who are really wealthy, and what are they trying to do? Gain more wealth. They are never satisfied. They can't take it with them when they die. And a selfish person is never satisfied. They always have to have and take more than what they already have. In Luke 12:15, Jesus said to them, "Watch out, be on your guard against all kinds of greed. A man's life doesn't consist in the abundance of his possessions." How many times does God have to warn us and tell us about the love of God coming first? God gives us blessings, and then we have the choice of making decisions on what to do with them. The difference between bread and seed is what we do with them. The first century farmers, when harvest time came, had to make a decision. They had two choices. They had to decide how much of the harvest they were going to keep for their family for food through the winter and through the spring until the next harvest, and how much of that harvest they would put for seed for the next year. If we were to look at society today, and many people live for the moment, they would be eating everything up, and then when the time came for the food the next year, they wouldn't have it because they wouldn't have put the seed away. And so the decision was, what do you do? Do you eat it and enjoy it, or do you put the seed away so you have food for the future years? And so as we look at this, God also said that in the first century and throughout the Bible, he said that we are supposed to give back to God a tithe. And it's interesting because the tithe that we give back to God is the first 10%. It's not the last 10%, it's the first. If you look at the chart, and this is fairly significant when you see and you look and apply it to our lives, people who tithe, if you started tithing as a child or a teen, 29% of those tithe. If you started in your 20s, 35%. If you're in your 30s, 19%. Your 40s, 11%. And notice what happens if you start to tithe when you get to be your 50s and get to be senior citizens. Only 6% tithe. What are they doing? They are trying to enjoy their life, and they are withholding God's blessings for them. They are eating the food and not saving the seed for the next year. And so as we look at this, there's two categories of what we can do with God's blessings. First of all, we can ask this: what are we going to give away to God and others? Because everything that we have is from God. The question that we should really ask ourselves is, how much of what God has given to us do we need to keep for ourselves? Instead of how much do we think we need to give back to God? The second thing we have to choose is then, what do we consume for ourselves? God has given us many things in our country. What have we done with them? In 2 Corinthians 9, verses 10 and 11, it reads, "He who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food will supply and multiply your seed for sowing and increase the harvest of your righteousness. You will be enriched in every way for all your generosity, which through us will produce thanksgiving to God." Notice, we will be enriched in all of our generosity. For those of you who have come to the community dinners and community meals, and this might be a surprise, I shared it with the board this week. We have some people who live in the high rise whose rent is determined by the income that they have. And there are families there who are allotted about $16 a month for food. This is the United States of America, and this is how much they are allotted for food. We have people who are struggling, people who are in misery, people who are hurting. Some of us this week participated in the food giveaway that Feed the Country does. There were people that were in need. There was over 200 and some people coming to pick up food. And yet we live in the comfort of our society, and we have to ask ourselves, what has God given to us, and what have we done with it? Because God has said we are to share with those who are in need. If we are Christians, they will know that we are and that we belong to God because we are doing God's work. We are stewards and responsible for three things. We are stewards of our time. How much time do we spend in the Word of God, in worship, in prayer, in doing things for others? The second thing is, we are stewards of our talents. I look at Kyle, I look at Stephen. Your ability to play the guitar and to bless us today, Kyle, thank you. But those are talents that he shared. Each one of us in our congregation today, you have gifts, you have talents. Sunday school is starting in a month and a half. We need Sunday school teachers. We need people who are passionate about children, people who care about the destiny of the children in our society. If you look out there, there are a lot of people who are searching. They need the Word of God. And the third thing, we are responsible for the resources that God has given to us. And so we're not just talking money, but we're talking time and talent. Are we willing to do that? The first song we sang is Freely, Freely. God gives his salvation to each one of us freely. It's nothing that we can do to earn it. Proverbs 11, 24 and 25 reads, "One man gives freely, yet gains even more. Another withholds unduly, but comes to poverty. A generous man will prosper. He who refreshes others will himself be refreshed." I want you to be encouraged by that word. He who refreshes others will himself be refreshed. If we are in God's word will touch us. And that can lead us then to spreading that word to others. We can volunteer our time, our talent. There are many people in our society today, in our situation, in our town, who are in need of friendship and need of visits. There was a lady who was coming to the community dinners, and someone talked to her and said, "Jesus loves you." And her response was, "I doubt it." And yet, if you know who this lady is, you see her walking around the community all the time, and she's sad. She needs that word sown to her, and that needs to be done by us. Care about others is very important that Christians are supposed to do. We are the hands and feet of Jesus. As the word says in verse 11, "It will accomplish whatever I want and achieve whatever I send it to do." That word is being told to us We are the hands and feet that need to be doing that. John Rockefeller, Sr., gave more than $500 million in his lifetime for people and for things for people to use. He started tithing as a young boy, and it's interesting because he had to help support his mother. He earned $1.50 a week, and his mother said she would be extremely happy if he would give 10% to God. Rockefeller tithed for the rest of his life. God not only wants us to give away money, but he wants us to give of our hearts as well. As we look about the world today, we can see we are living close to the end times. You can't believe everything you see on the internet, but I saw something this week that said that beginning in 2017, European babies are going to be put with a chip inside them. If that is true, that's happening in Europe, you know our credit cards have chips. We are not too far away from the scripture that says in the end times, if you don't have the mark of the beast, you're not going to eat or anything else. We are not to be strangers thinking that this is a long time away. We are living close to the end of times. And so if it's really the case, we shouldn't be worrying about what we're going to do this afternoon, but we should be thinking, do we have family? Do we have friends? Do we have loved ones that need to hear about Jesus' love? Because if Christ comes, just as the Word of God is nourishment and encouragement to Christians, it's condemnation for those who have never accepted Him. And they will perish. We are the ones to be spreading that word. God's word will accomplish its purpose. Is God calling us today to share the gospel? Romans 12:1 says, God calls us to offer our bodies as living sacrifices, dedicated to God and pleasing to Him. Are we willing to give of our lives and our lifestyles for God? It's interesting as you see the beginning church in Acts. They worshiped together, they lived together, they shared things, and the church grew because of everything that they did together. As a congregation, we need to be about God's work. We're in need of people here in our congregation to share hearts, time, and talents. And I want to say as well, what an encouragement it is to drive past the church and see cars here, people working at the parsonage or other things, and people are just going about doing the gifts that they want, that they have, without being asked. We are fortunate. When Pastor Ryerson comes, we need to be walking alongside, hands and feet, doing things. We don't turn things over to him and say, we hired you to do it for us. We need to be there. We need to reach out. If we look at our congregation right here, there is a decade or two of people that aren't here. If you're in your 20s or 30s, raise your hands. Thank you, Stephen. And he's visiting. Okay? What does that say? We have to reach out to these people. They are in need of hearing God's word. They need God's blessings. And for some of us, these are our kids. For some, these are our grandkids. Do we share with them how important God is to us? As we look, that's a generation that we need to have. If we don't have much of a future. We need people investing in our kids. And that's what we're called to do. We are called to bear fruit. We can't become too busy in our lives that we become like the statistical Christians that we saw at the beginning of the service. And we don't know what God's word says. God's Holy Spirit provides us the words that we need to share. He's just asking us to be willing to do it. And so the question we need to ask ourselves today is this: where today can I serve God in our congregation and in the community where we live? Remember, we are the hands and feet of God's word, and God has said his word will accomplish its purpose and not return void. Lord, we thank you for your word. Father, we pray that we would be students of your word. Lord, that we would not be distracted by Satan or find other things to do that would be more important. And Father, help us to be faithful to you. Father, help us to allow the Spirit to lead and guide our lives and our hearts. Father, thank you for the power of your word. In your name we pray. Amen.